inches.
That's what I told. What's her name? Robin.
Testing, testing.
Local planning panel. I've already explained once today, but as it's a different audience, I'll indicate again that this planning panel is comprised of experts who have no affiliation with the council or anybody else who is involved in the process. They are entirely independent and are operating as experts, as you will find in a moment, in their own right. The matters will be dealt with in order, and I will invite each one of the people who have registered to speak to come forward. They will be given a period of 3 minutes. The people who have registered to speak, generally speaking, have made submissions already, although I note that there are several people here today who have not previously made a submission, so I'll be communicating with them as to what it is they propose to do. The 3 minutes will be something that's enforced. There could be questions, which of course extends the time, and the opportunity will be given for, in most cases, the panel to make a determination on the spot as required by the council. My name is Angus Talbot. I practiced for many years as a lawyer, solicitor and a barrister, mainly in the local government area, and ultimately I became a judge of the Land and Environment Court for 15 years. Lately I've been sitting on these panels, or this panel and other panels that are similar, as a chairman, and I have been doing other work in the area. The other people I will ask individually to indicate who they are and what their expertise is, starting on the left, if you wouldn't mind.
Good afternoon again. For those of you who were here before, I'm Lindsay Day. I'm a consultant town planner, a sole practitioner. I have a mix of local government and private sector clients. I've worked in state and local government for the last 40 years. I also have a series of private clients. I'm a member on this panel and Bayside and Lane Cove also. I have degrees in geography and town and country planning, and I'm a corporate member of the Planning Institute of Australia.
Thank you. Mr. Hawkes.
My name is Ken Hawke, and I'm the community rep on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West for the last 45 years. I have a local government career of over 30 years in planning, and I finished my career as the Director of Planning and Environmental Services at the old Marrickville Council.
Thank you.
Yes, Morrell. Good afternoon. Jan Morrell. I've had over 40 years' experience as a town planner. I currently only sit on independent panels as the chair or an expert member. I retired 6 years ago as a full-time commissioner of the Land and Environment Court for 14 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the agenda, first of all, will deal with two matters that are carried over for consideration after the first session, which started at 2 o'clock. And the first matter that we'll deal with is item number 10. And item number 10 relates to the property at Beattie Street, 69 to 73 Beattie Street, Balmain. The panel has reached a position in relation to the consideration of that matter. And I'll ask Mr. Hawke to actually explain just exactly what the panel proposes in that respect. Thank you, Mr. Hawke.
Earlier in the meeting, we deferred this item to try and bring together... I said that the panel was minded to approve the application, and however, it's quite complex. We thought that within... a short amount of time that we'd be able to put something together. That's proved not to be the case. And so what we're going to do at the end of business today is to get an officer's recommendation, which brings together all of those things, including your latest submission this afternoon. And then we will be dealing with that amongst ourselves electronically, and we envisage that we will have a decision by Tuesday, the 17th of December.
I think that's correct.
A bit later than that.
Oh, is it?
About 10 days, the 20th.
And we went further than that.
Sorry, I think it might have been the 19th.
Yeah, I'm deferring it till then.
Yeah, the 19th of December. Okay, thank you.
Any questions about that? That clear? We're going to reconsider it. The outcome will be communicated electronically to the public as part of the minutes of the second meeting. I might say that the situation that's arisen here is becoming far too common. There being late submissions, late experts' reports, or new expert reports, and it leaves the panel in a very difficult situation when it has so many to consider to be receiving matters right up until the commencement of the meeting. However, we've sought to accommodate that today, but we may not be so comfortable with doing that in the future. We go back now for the same reason to item number two, and I'll ask Ms. Morrell to indicate what the panel's determination is in that respect. Thank you, Ms. Morrell.
Thank you, Chair. The panel has considered all submissions, both written and oral, and those of the submitters and also those of the applicant's representatives today. The panel does note that the plans have been amended to satisfy various concerns of council officers. The development complies. It is one of those situations where there is a zone interface between the medium or higher density to the east, and that is the residential 3 zone, and this subject site being zoned residential A, a residential 2. As with a fine urban fabric, there are often issues of overlooking and privacy, and at the same time, one must balance that with the fine urban fabric that we find in this area, which has a character that should be enhanced. And in saying that, we note that these are heritage items that are proposed along this strip of Smith Street to be refurbished. In this instance, the subject site is one that is larger than any of the adjoining sites. It has the advantage of the end of a rear access way, and there is a garage with a secondary dwelling proposed. The panel has, as I said, considered all the submissions, and on balance, the panel generally considers the application is one that does warrant approval, subject to a number of conditions that have been refined. And I will just move to those conditions, and the first one that we have is condition 5A. And the panel has looked at the information and the juxtaposition with the adjoining property. It is noted that the medium density development to the east does have the advantage of gaining amenity from this low density residential zone and this actual terrace house itself. That doesn't mean that this terrace house should remain undeveloped as such. It should be developed in the context of its importance as a heritage item. The panel, with respect to 5A, considers that there is no need for the terrace to be deleted. However, it should in fact be set back a minimum of 2 metres with a planter bed with landscaping from the rear. And this will be provided in an amended plan as such. in terms of the design changes. The can we just have that condition 5A up on the...
It is there now.
The proposed rooftop studio terrace associated with the secondary dwellings is to be set back a minimum of 2 metres at the eastern property boundary to provide a planter with appropriate landscaping to provide a buffer to the adjoining residences. We do understand that when we looked at the proposal in terms of heights, which have been reduced, this is a necessary requirement to provide amenity for that room that it adjoins. In terms of amending condition 5D to read, the awning above the walkway, which connects the principal dwelling and garage, must be deleted, and this is to eliminate unnecessary bulk, and we do not consider that the information that we had resolved the issue, so that will be deleted. The amended condition 5E is to read the proposed attached box forms of the ground floor east elevation are to be painted with the wall colour, but this must be read. This condition must be read in conjunction with 6A for the colour scheme. In this regard, the council's heritage consultant has advised that the whole of the colour schedule does need consideration by the applicant and then approval by council's manager of development assessment. For condition 5F is to be amended to permit the long line cladding, and our reason for this is, whilst we note it is against the heritage advice, at the same time the panel considers that it is not highly visible in the public domain, and where it is visible it is some distance, so that is allowed. The amended condition 6 is to read that prior to the issue of a construction certificate, the following must be submitted to the satisfaction of council, and that is the colour scheme within the schedule of conservation works must be revised and submitted to satisfaction of council's manager of development assessment. The revised colour scheme must be based on further investigation of the building's original colour palette and or consideration of typical colours for its kind. Consideration must also be given to the colour of the wall of the secondary dwelling garage in light of neighbours' concerns for a lighter tone. And that was, or that is a unanimous decision, as I understand it, from the panel.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Morrell. That takes us then to the second session, item number 6. Now, you can't ask any questions. We've made our decision. I can't hear you. If you want to say something, go to the microphone. I'll give you leave to do it. I hope you're not contesting, because I won't allow that.
Thanks. What I'd like is the decision to be clarified. Could I ask a question with regard to... Can I clarify one of the an aspect of the decision?
Itself, but go on, see
Thank
what
you.
Happens.
The issue with deleting the awning, I wasn't clear if a provision or an amendment is being deleted or the awning is being deleted, or I wasn't clear.
The connection, the walkway awning, is deleted, and we made that decision on the basis of the concern for bulk in the rear yard area and then the heights that had been pointed out to us by your architect in terms of not marrying up. So we have deleted that.
Sure. Thank you.
Moving on to item number 6, which relates to the property 510 Parramatta Road, Ashfield. And the person listed to speak is Anthony Solomon, architect. Thank you, Mr. Solomon.
Thank you, panel. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. Just a brief history. You've all been to the site, obviously. This site is also to be read in conjunction with the one immediately behind it in Frederick Street. There were two DAs, but sort of read as one. It's the same owner. And the owner previously gained approval diagonally across the road for a large development, but unfortunately was resumed and is now by WestConnex and is now their smokestack. But the owner was fortunate enough to buy these sites, which is a disused timber yard and storage area. It's been sort of in a state of dilapidation for some time. It's obviously a very prominent corner where Wattle Street joins Parramatta Road. It's in the Enterprise Corridor, and being on Parramatta Road, as I'm probably sure you'll agree, it's a particularly eclectic area of no style in particular, ranging from fast food places to Bunnings, which was formerly the Unilever building, to the WestConnex tower, smoke stack across the road, and so on. I note in the reports by Connor from Connor Wilson from the council, and we have liaised with Connor and Jay on a few occasions about the best possible outcome. The reason for refusal for Frederick Street, first of all, is that it exceeds the height limit. It's an 8.5 metre height limit, but it's also the land's also subject to flood. So the only exceedance in height is the flood level. So determining the flood level, as determined by the flood engineers, the building still complies, and otherwise it does comply to FSR. And with regard to Parramatta Road, there's a small height non-compliance on the corner, but you are allowed to exceed the 15 metre height limit for an architectural roof form or something like that. But there is also a small FSR non-compliance. And all of these have been addressed in 4.6 statements by the planner, David Furlong. But what it comes down to, I think, is subjectivity and what the appearance of the building. For me, I don't know how to ascribe a particular style or look on Parramatta Road, because it is, and there's no cue to take it from, really, other than the Bunnings building across the road. We've had discussions with Jay and Connor about an alternative scheme, and we were able to forward a preliminary scheme that we had done, not necessarily to the owner's liking, but that scheme has more bones, if you like, or is more positive in terms of what council want. So I would suggest, and I don't know if this is possible, that the matter be held over and gives us a chance to develop the alternative scheme, which is much more in keeping with what the council have indicated they would like to see. Other than that, as I say before, it's in the Enterprise Corridor. It's a very prominent site, and it's a very distinctive building. And I would have thought that's what the local area is after, rather than what is there now. And
I'll see if there's any questions in relation to that proposal you're putting forward. Do you, Mr. Brook? There's an alternative scheme which hasn't been developed for DA level.
Oh, he's only now engaging with the architectural panel.
He is the architect.
No, but the panel.
Well, ask.
Excellence.
Yeah, you want to know?
Oh, the design panel. Excellence. Yeah. Okay, understand.
Right. Yeah.
But I think we.
Yep, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. No question. No question. No. No. Well, thank you, Mr. Solomon. I'll ask Mr. Hawke to. Explain where the panel stands in relation to this application and what determination it's made. Thank you, Mr. Hawke.
Thank you, Chair. This application is for the demolition of existing structures and the construction of a four-storey mixed-use building with ground and mezzanine-level commercial and 20 service departments. There are FSR controls in that area which are breached. In addition to that, we have the officers have reported that the flood planning is non-compliant with clause 6.2, and is not demonstrated compatible with the flood hazard of the land. In regards to good design, the proposal was not supported by council's architectural excellence panel. With regards to parking, 39 spaces are required by the code, and 12 are meant to be provided. Whilst there is a discrepancy there, it's the 12 spaces are probably not adequate and are certainly not justified. Finally and importantly, for this type of use, the council usually requires a plan of management, and this was not supplied, so that was another omission. Whilst the panel largely concurs with the officer's assessment of the application and recommendation in its current form, it does acknowledge the importance of this high visibility site, and we would urge the applicants to further negotiate with council officers and the architectural excellence panel to resolve the current issues and reasons for refusal. I don't think we can defer the matter, and the panel has unanimously adopted the recommendation outlined in page 384 to 385 of the agenda papers.
Thank you. Moving on to the next item, which is item 7, and Mr. Solomon, you remain in the chair.
I think I've already said everything. I've talked about both sites.
We appreciate that the sites are in each other's proximity and are similar in approach. Do you want to say anything further about it?
Well, with regard to Frederick Street, as I said before, the height breach is a direct result of the site being subject to flood. So once determining the flood level, which was determined by the flood engineer, then the height was determined of the building. It's still an 8.5 metre building, but the ground floor is raised to ameliorate any concerns of flood. So that's the non-compliance. But I understand, and we've had a number of conversations, that council want to try and marry the two together, which is what we want to do, to be read, as, although it's two applications, to be read as one. So, as I said before, we've started the dialogue and the alternative schemes with council, and I would I'll be making a time with Jay and Connor to further develop the alternative scheme.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ms. Morrell's got something to say about the situation on behalf of the panel.
I have got very little to add, and clearly, given the relationship between the two proposals and similar approaches, the panel unanimously has decided to go with the council officer's recommendation. And I do appreciate and understand that given the flood level, the building had to be raised. But at the end of the day, formally a requirement for a 4.6 written request to vary the height limit is necessary. But that's not the only reason it fails. It is, as identified in the council officer's report, as to the reasons why the development fails. Just one question I have, and that is in terms of the categorisation or classification of the use as serviced apartments as opposed to a hotel or perhaps a motel, hotel perhaps. That also seemed to be an issue in terms of the more detailed design of the various accommodation provided on site.
Well, service apartments was the preference for the owners. You mentioned the plan of management before, but that wasn't conveyed to us, but we'd be happy to do so. The service apartments are permissible in the enterprise zone.
Yep.
And that was the preference for the owners. They didn't entertain doing a private hotel or a motel.
No, that's okay. Well, it's just that you'd realise that it would require design changes to, in order to provide certain facilities required within each service department. So, but you would be aware of that.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, these concerns of council have already gone a long way to being addressed. But that you'll see that in the new year, most likely.
Great, thank you.
We're comforted by the fact that you're having another look.
Yep. Yes, thank you. We can only encourage that discourse. Thank you. Very well, so that the decision is unanimous of the panel that this application also be refused. Thank you.
Moving on to item number 8, and that relates to the property 75A Palace Street, Ashfield, a proposal for a boarding house. All of the persons listed to speak appear to be in the same interest. Is everybody going to speak? Two architects? Is that necessary?
No.
It's a matter for you. I'm just inquiring. Anyway, I'll call on Christopher Brooks, or alternatively Patrick Brooks, or in conjunction, whatever.
We'll see how I go.
All right. Thank you. You're Christopher Brooks, are you?
Christopher, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks.
Thank you. We went through the reasons for refusal and responded to all of those, and they've been summarised in the A4 submissions. Mm. There are four items which we agree with the assessment. One is the parking. We have a traffic engineer's certificate saying we comply. Council engineer says we don't, so we would be happy for our engineer to liaise with council engineer and, if necessary, do whatever changes need to be done to be compliant. The next reason was there was a discrepancy in the ground levels between the hydraulics engineer's plan and the architectural. That happened because the architecturals were changed at the last minute to comply with disabled access. So we would propose submitting an amended hydraulics engineer's plan covering the levels and the stormwater drainage. And I don't see any difficulty in complying. With the common open space, we've done an amended plan increasing the common area, and we submitted that to the council. I'm not sure if the panel has seen that. And lastly, with the waste bins, we've created a storage area for them, and we've also allocated pickup point in the street, so we believe that would comply with council's preference. The main thing that we want to address is council's assessment that we are not compatible with the character of the local area, and as stated in our A4, the council assessment is based that purely on the four dwellings and has totally ignored all the two-storey dwellings in the area. There are, in the local area, there are 10, one of them being three-storey, the others are all two-storey. And the SEP requires us to be compatible. It doesn't require us to be identical. And then the statement about design excellence, I think the credibility of that statement just doesn't stack up. And we contend that we comply in all other areas. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
See if there's any questions today.
Thank you.
You got any questions, Morrell? Ms. Morrell's thinking. That's always difficult. No questions. Sure. Right. Now, does Mr. Patrick Brooks wish to say anything further?
Well, you've got the submission.
We've got the submission, yes. We've got the two submissions. All right. Thank you, Mr. You'll just endorse those. Thank you for your help in that respect. Themis Theo? Is Samuel Theo the owner and you're speaking on his behalf, or what's the position, Mr?
I represent one of the owners. My family are the owners. We've owned the property for about 24 years now, and we try to give it the people that live there a good deal. One person's been there for about 15 years. Normally the rents are between $100 to $200 less per week than similar properties. And my aim is to see the people that are there eventually move on and buy their own place. And this has happened to about three of the people that have been there so far in this period. This application, if approved, will allow us to have more people that we perhaps be able to help them find their own properties. The other thing I do notice is that in the street there are quite a few other large developments, much larger than ours, that are dwarfed by trees, and you don't really notice them there because of the trees. Well, that's only a thing that we can add to later. I don't have anything else to say. Thank you very much.
Theo, are you saying that the place has already been used as a boarding house? Is
it? No, it's presently two semis. And it's been two semis, two bedroom semis.
I must have misunderstood you. Thank you for clarifying that. Samuel Theo, do you want to speak? Is he here? No, he's not here. All right, thank you. Did you have any questions for Mr. Theo?
No, I don't.
No. I'll ask Ms. Day to indicate what the panel's consideration has revealed. Thank you.
Today we visited the site and also met an adjacent neighbour on the eastern side of the site. The panel is unanimous in its decision. We consider that the proposed building is excessively bulky. It has some design issues, parking non-compliances, a definite lack of communal open space for boarding house residents, and it also has some stormwater management issues. So on that basis, we are going with the officer recommendation of refusal. And I understand the decision is unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next matter the panel is going to consider is the proposed extending the trading hours of the hotel, the Sly Fox, at 199 Enmore Road, Enmore. The first person who's listed to speak, what's his? Sean Flood. Thank you, Mr. Flood.
Thank you, panel members. I've lived with my family in the Enmore area since 2003, and we've lived on Cambridge Street since 2008. I have children who are aged 13 and 11. Around us in Cambridge Street, I don't know what happens in Cavendish because the area is more apartments further down the road, but around us in Cambridge Street there are 12 families with children ranging in age from 3 weeks to 14 years. A number of them have lived on the street since the mid to late 90s. Some of them have developed the properties that they've been living in and then chosen to have families in the area. We are long-term residents who want to continue to live in this community. We want to be able to enjoy our community. We don't want the Sly Fox to close. That is not the purpose of our objection. In our view, the current applicants, by saying they will have to close if they don't get what they want as far as the development application, are threatening to take their bat and ball and just go home if they don't get what they're requesting. They should be able to run a successful business within the proposed rules that council has put forward. We have double glazing on our windows at home. A few years ago, and I believe it's after the current licensees took over, the noise from the Sly Fox was so bad, even with that double glazing, that we could hear the bass from the Sly Fox in our bedroom at night. 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. We complained directly to the hotel, no result. So we eventually resorted to reporting the matters to the police, and it was only after that that things improved. The granting of a development consent that allows 24-hour opening and amplified music does not provide the right balance for the community. It is not unusual for antisocial behaviour to disrupt our sleep in the early hours of the morning. I've recently, within the last month or so, gone out to ask people to move on at about 5 a.m. in the morning, clearly Sly Fox patrons, because the other places have all closed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and found one of them urinating against the neighbour's wall. It's not unusual to see vomit in the streets. Neighbours have complained about alcohol being hidden in their front yards. It's not a pleasant situation to have to deal with in a family environment. I've never seen Sly Fox security patrolling the local area as was required by a previous development application or development consent. The Facebook situation that the Sly Fox is using to garner public support is a dishonest one, because they are putting forward that they have to close and that's what council is requiring of them. It's just not true. In our submission, the proposed council approval strikes the correct balance for all members of the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flood. Any questions for Mr. Flood? No, thank you. I think he's quite explicit. Mr. and Mrs. Wilshire.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. You've been left on your own, have you?
I have.
All right.
The other half's in China.
Oh.
I echo Sean's views exactly. I have noticed all of that antisocial behaviour. As you saw this morning, our proximity to the Sly Fox Hotel is very real, and all that thumping music has been witnessed with phone calls to the hotel that don't get answered, because the music's probably too loud, and therefore going to the police to try and sort that out. I'm sick and tired of waking up to broken glass underneath our windows, screaming fights that escalate on the cars with bottles again. I've never seen security guards patrolling. When I approached one security guard to say, could he stop the rabble that was going on under my bedroom window, he said he wasn't allowed to leave his post. He couldn't chase them down the street. I've lived there since 2010 with my husband and my family. And at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, when you have to work 5 days a week, is so hard to bear, waking up to that thump, 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 bang, 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 and the arguments and the lack of parking, because they can park there unrestricted until 6 o'clock that night. The rubbish that is left and thrown over our fence, and the vomiting and the urinating. You can smell it when you come out in the morning. It's disgusting. We have a little alcove off the street that's been urinated on, where you go into the doorway. I can't ever imagine why they would want to open till 6 o'clock and say they can't trade on if they're not allowed to. That is a total threat, and I'm surprised that they're using that argument. The other hotels see fit to close at a decent hour. Why should this one be given the precedent? And then maybe all the other ones will just follow suit. What are we really agreeing to? That's it in a nutshell.
All right, thank you, Ms. Wilshire. Any questions for Ms. Wilshire? Yes, we did visit your site today. We recognise that and thank you for having us. The next person listed to speak is Sarah Burgess. No appearance. Anyone know anything about Sarah Burgess? She's not outside or something. All right, I'll move on. Now, the next four speakers next three speakers listed haven't previously made a submission. I just can't therefore determine what their position is, but I'll call them and find out why they're here. Beck Donnellan. Well, I won't get much from Beck Donnellan if she's not here. Thank you. Mr. Byrne, the Mayor.
Chair, I'd suggest that the proponent be allowed to speak and I'll speak afterwards.
Well, are you an objector or a supporter?
I'm here to make a submission.
Yes, well, normally the owner would go last.
Why would that be?
Well, because he's heard all of the said what's been said for and against.
I'm not an objector. And I'm chairing a meeting tonight myself, so I'll reorder the agenda at some time if
Yeah, you might. I don't think I need to be given a lesson in how to run a meeting, but I'm perfectly happy to accommodate you if there's a reason for doing so.
I'd like to hear
you. All right, OK. I'll grant that indulgence for the moment. Dylan Brooks.
Chairman, could I please speak last just because...
Well...
I'm just a member of the public and I'm a... students of music, so I feel that would be for me to speak first. I feel like in some way it could be warped.
Well, I'll invite you to do it now.
Sure.
Because I don't understand the submission. Feel free to deal with the matter as you see fit, Mr. Brooks. It's 3 minutes is yours.
Can you just turn the mic on for us, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Brooks.
Chairman, panel members, speakers, all. I sit here today strongly supporting the extension of the trading hours of Sly Fox. Simply put, the freedom to be unique and eccentric is essential for social progress. Sly Fox is a unique space for the eccentric and has always been, therefore should be supported and encouraged for progress of a better future. We must not restrict individuality or impede the trial of a 24-hour, 7-day-week licence. Experience has shown this space to be both useful and suitable to individuality. Any prevention of that liberty is a step toward despotism. Coming from a lifelong engagement with performance and art, going to Newtown Performing High School, and also working as a heritage stonemason for the Department of Planning, Industry and Environment, conservation is an extremely important part of my life. The conservation of cathedrals, hospitals, town halls, schools, forums and auditoriums. Sly Fox is all of that and more as a musician or anyone able to see it in those lights, under those lampshades. It is more than the misleading title of bar or nightclub, because what it truly is can only be described by what the music does to you and to the people around you in those sacred states of unrepressed movement. We truly enter the stillness of our authentic selves and can connect. When we know the true rhythm of our heart, we know another. Music's highest goal connects one's soul to the divine nature, not just entertainment. It has been proven to improve mood, reduce stress, lessen anxiety, improve exercise, memory, ease pain, provide comfort, and improve cognition. However, it takes up time. The more time spent listening to music, the greater the benefits that are yielded from it. Just as these columns, the architrave, the cornice, the interior and exterior cornice take up space, the architectural features of music take up time. Which is why the hours must be extended. If Sly Fox is injured by trading hour restrictions, you do great harm to those who directly or indirectly derive support from it. The music cannot be heard from outside according to the Wilkinson-Murray report, but people talking loudly can be, and obviously acting, you know, in the nature that they do. But let me ask a few things. What is there any record of what these people are actually saying? And how do we know that the noise... it's assumed that the noise is coming from Sly Fox, but City Road, Enmore Road, Newtown, Enmore, it's a big area, it's thriving. So what are we going to do? Shut down traffic? Or, you know, like, everything is going to make a sound. Despite that, what if the people were talking directly or indirectly? What if they were saying something that helped someone? What if they were offering words of counsel to a friend, to a stranger, who really needed the support? Evidently, it is important to support Sly Fox as it is not just your average pub, and just like an important fragile manuscript with pieces missing and others difficult to make out. Just because you may not understand some pieces of it doesn't mean you choose to reinterpret it and permanently disfigure it. Instead, encourage its uniqueness, creativity, and eccentricity. So please support all those who gain everything from it. Supporting this license for Sly Fox and live music venues is extremely essential for social growth in this city and country.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brooks. Any questions? Questions? Thomas Elwood, planner. Supporting the application, I believe.
Good afternoon, planning panel.
Mr. Elwood.
My name's Thomas Elwood. I'm town planner from Urban & Co. and the applicant of this application. First of all, I'd also like to say that we have acoustic consultant here as well, who can answer some questions in regards to the noise limits. We also have the owner of the Sly Fox in regards to management issues as well. First of all, I'd like to say that we endorse the approval that council have given with the trial period. However, there's one thing that I would like to bring to your attention. That is just with the condition number 1B in regards to the hours of operation and the trial period in particular.
Can you tell us what page of the agenda you're on,
1B,
please?
1B is page 616.
618, yeah. Yeah.
1B,
so condition 1B.
What's the problem with that?
So this is what's currently in there is till 3 a.m. Monday to Saturday. Yeah. What we would like consideration for is from Wednesday to Saturday for a trial period of 12 months till 6 a.m. The reasons being the Sly Fox clientele and demographic that visit the premises are late night traders from 11:30 till 6 a.m. That's the main period. If this was only to go till 3 a.m. Then we'll be only having around roughly 3.5 hours of constant trade, and it's sort of limiting the availability then. And the other thing I'd like to say as well in regards to planner management and ongoing management, previously what's happened, there's been some noises and everything identified by the objectors, but what we want to do is work with council to create a planner management to ensure clean-up, to ensure mitigation of members leaving the premises to ensure that all those issues can be looked at. And the reason that we're saying as well a 12-month trial period till 6 a.m. is so that this doesn't last for 3 or 4 years. It is 12 months. We have a plan of management which we can work with and justify and identify all the issues that there are and ensure that we do and that owners and operators do manage the premises correctly. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. Elwood. Any questions for Mr. Elwood? No.
Thank you.
Kerry Wallace. Thanks for dressing up.
Good afternoon to the panel and the members, and thank you for listening to my submission today. I'm one of three owners of the Sly Fox and talk on all our behalves. The Sly Fox Hotel has been in existence for over 100 years. It has also traded for nearly 21 years with the current 24-hour trading hours, with little or no complaints over that time. We've also received no noise complaints in 14 months. In 2016, our trading hours were brought into question by council. They were dealt with at the time via our lawyer, Kim Stapleton, and Jeff Norman, a council DA staff member, and conclusion was reached by council stating via an email that due to the hotel's history, the 24-18 trials remained on foot. I have this correspondence here if you'd like it. Via this correspondence from council, myself and my business partners input our own funds to start soundproofing the venue in full. Just to make the panel members aware, in the current DA, there is a condition of consent which states no amplified music after 3 a.m. We seek to have this removed via our sound treatment, an acoustic report and a DA application, which we did in full. I should also note that currently at 3 a.m. we do not close the venue, but instead when the music is turned off, all patrons put on silent disco headphones. Patrons currently are in the venue still till 6, 7 a.m. in the morning, just without amplified music. When we submitted the DA amendment to remove the condition of consent Following that, a meeting was called at Sly Fox by the DA staff, in which both the DA staff and the CEO, Michael Deegan, attended. We were then told that the DA we had applied for an amendment to, council were putting forward, was no longer valid, that the letter sent by them in 2016 confirming our 24-hour trading hours were no longer recognising, and that they would require us to first reapply for the 24-hour trading hours. We completed that. We did what they asked, and we relodged the DA. Council returned to us recently saying they would be recommending a 12 midnight licence with a 3 a.m. trial, which they knew via correspondence with us would shut down the venue straight away, and I'm afraid it will, because we need long. It's known as a late night trading venue, and if we only have 3 hours to trade, it will shut. That's what will happen. So we're not threatening people. It's just the truth. Following this, we went to the public and asked for their help. The response was like nothing else ever seen before within the history of the Inner West Council DA process, as we are told from Darcy Bryan. As of today, Council has received 2,085 direct individual submissions of support. I'll note that 253 of them are in the direct surrounding streets, and almost 15 to 20 of them in the notification area alone. It's saddening us to see that Council did not recognise the public submissions of support at all, calling them ostensible. It's a disjustice that these submissions were not counted as a part of the council report. I have them printed here for you today, which has every submitter's address, time of submission, email, telephone number, and their submission, some of which are extremely heartfelt in way of the possible loss of venue. I'll be as quick as I can. We also created an online petition for people to sign in support of Sly Fox. As of today, that petition has 7,180 signatures. In closing, I ask the panel to please look at the facts, those being the history of the hotel's 24-hour trading hours, the absolute outcry from the public and their submissions, and the acoustic report showing full compliance. If the 24-hour trading hours are not granted today, the Sly Fox will close its doors immediately, as we cannot sustain any more losses with the music going off at 3 a.m.
Thank you.
Can I just do one more thing? The Inner West area is meant to be about creativeness, art, music, and great pubs, restaurants, bars for all people to enjoy. Please listen to the community and what they actually want, and reinstate the Sly Fox with its long-held 24-hour trading hours, so we can continue to supply the area with a fun venue for everyone to enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace, for your assistance. I'll see if there's anyone that want to ask a question. Any? No.
Are you the licensee?
No, I'm just one of the owners.
And how long have you owned it?
We've been there 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries. Now, I don't know. Mr. Wallace.
Wait, did you want the submissions?
I want to ask you a question, if I may. Mr. Wallace, if you could just come back for a moment. I'm sorry to muck you about. What's the position in relation to any application to approval by or consideration by the liquor authorities?
What do you mean,
sorry? What do I mean? People who grant you a liquor licence.
Yeah.
Have you made any application for an extension of time to them?
The liquor licence.
Oh, I see. That's. I don't think that was.
Sorry.
It's a 24-hour
liquor license. It's a 24-hour liquor license, which is. Yep.
Good. Thank you. I'm a little bit apprehensive about a new acoustic expert. I'll just call on Mr. Lamondu. What do you propose to do, Mr. Lamondu? Have you previously made a submission? Sorry? Have you previously made a submission? And are you here as an acoustic expert, are you?
Yes, I'm an acoustic engineer.
And for whom?
I work for Wilkinson Murray. I work for Wilkinson Murray. We specialise in noise vibration and air quality services.
Oh, it's the one that was before.
Yes,
all right. Okay, so you're representing the acoustic firm who carried out the test till 3 a.m.
That's correct.
Yes, all right. Are you just here to support that report?
That's right.
Do you have anything to add to it?
Yeah, I can make a statement, yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see how we go. You still say there's been no testing after 3 o'clock?
No, testing has been undertaken before 3 a.m. while the music was still in operation. That no testing has been made after 3 a.m. because...
Yes, all right, okay. Well, I'll invite you to make a presentation.
Okay.
On the basis that you don't provide new additional acoustic material that's for an expert to consider, which we're not in a position to do.
No.
No, all right. Thank you. I welcome your input. Thank
okay.
you.
I work as an engineer for Wilkinson Murray, and we specialise in noise and vibration services. My company was engaged by the owner to conduct noise monitoring at the premises in order to support their application to play amplified music after 3 a.m. in the morning. Currently, amplified music can only be played until 3 a.m., at which point they have to stop amplified music. I understand acoustic measures have been implemented in the past in order to reduce noise impacts from the venue to the neighbours. These include the addition of a sound log in the entry and the addition of a noise limiter. The noise limiter is used to control the level of the music played inside the venue. Two settings were implemented in order to control music noise to make sure it was compliant with the acoustic requirement of Liquor and Gaming New South Wales.
Are they permanently installed, those limiters?
Yes, these are installed.
Were they there for the purpose of your...
No, they were already testing. There, and they had been set previously by someone else.
I see. Thank you.
That's correct. So two settings were installed previously to us. There was the pre-midnight setting, which was set so that the venue could comply with noise, with the noise requirement before midnight. The other one was called the DA setting and was set so that the venue could comply after midnight. Now, midnight is quite a critical time in terms of noise from the Sly Fox, because noise from the venue requires to be inaudible at any residential boundary window or within habitable rooms. We identified a number of residences that could be impacted by noise from the Sly Fox. The most impacted receivers are located at the following locations, in our opinion. 2A Cavendish Street, 197 Enmore Road, which is located across Cambridge Street, and finally 201 Enmore Road. This building is adjacent to the venue. There are also the residences that we identified. However, they are located at locations that are less impacted by noise from the music. A number of noise measurements were organised in the early hours of Saturday, 19th October, between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. Measurements were conducted at the locations, at these locations, except for the 201 Enmore Road property, because access was not possible. The measurements indicated that provided that the noise limiting device is used at the adequate setting, noise at the surrounding residences will be inaudible at all times of operation in compliance with the requirements applicable to the Sly Fox Hotel. In accordance with the owner, the measures to control noise level will be implemented during the proposed trial period to ensure ongoing compliance at all times. Thank you.
Tell me, have you read the conditions of consent that relate to limiters and noise control?
Excuse me, sorry, I couldn't
hear. Have you read the conditions of consent?
Yes.
That relate to limitations on the noise emanating from the premises and the use of limitators? And are those conditions something you would like to comment upon in positive or negative terms?
No.
No.
They're adequate.
They're satisfactory the way
yes.
they're set out.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your assistance.
You.
Any questions? Sorry.
Just one question, please.
Sorry.
No. All this monitoring that you've described, was that part of the development application in the first place, or the modification application, or
that's
is this
the modification.
New?
That's